altered it with a series of quick cuts, the transference aura around my blade parting slime easily with each motion. It didn't take long for my barrage of slashes to wear the creature down. There was no obvious core, no vital organs, but once I'd slashed away enough of the creature's mass, it collapsed like the previous one had. It looked almost like it was deflating. I hit it a few more times before it finally vanished, leaving a single green gem behind. I ducked to grab the gemstone with my free hand and headed back towards Sarah. The merged slime had smashed through Sarah's wall, and she'd maneuvered around it to strike it with several more cuts. Three spears pierced through it into the stone floor, but they failed to pin it down. It simply tore through its own mass to surge toward her. Sarah stepped backward, slicing off a pair of encroaching spines, but it was closing the distance too fast. It would be on top of her in moments. I poured mana into my gauntlet, sending a surge of transference mana. I hoped to knock the creature back, but it didn't have the intended function. Instead, it blasted a huge hole right through the slime's center of mass. The creature froze in place for an instant, giving Sarah much-needed time to reorient and retreat. Then the slime surged toward me absurdly fast, leaving an acidic trail in its wake. I didn't have time to dodge to the side, and I knew another slash wouldn't be sufficient to stop it. And so, with all the athleticism of a student who spends most of his time reading and enchanting, I tried to jump through the hole in the creature's center. To my credit, I almost made it. My feet caught on the bottom of the hole, flipping me forward onto the stone floor. I hit the ground hard, the jolt of pain forcing me to drop my sword. My feet were stuck inside the slime, immobile, but fortunately not yet burning. My shield sigil had activated, and it was repelling the acidic goop, but the slime was looming over me and about ready to crash down and crush me to a pulp. A blur of movement. First, from a humanoid figure in front of me, then the slime behind me. I felt a tug on my feet as the slime wrenched backward, and then I was free. I rolled over to find the slime flying backward, as if shoved by a giant hand, and then exploding when it hit the rear wall of the chamber. Two more green gems fell to the floor as remaining slime goop vanished. And weirdly, a pickaxe also appeared amongst the slime's remains. Derek was standing over me, grinning broadly. He reached down to offer me a hand, which I grudgingly accepted.
Not a bad jump there. It was a good reflex, even if it didn't quite work. You kids did good for your first fight in here.
I winced. Thanks, I guess. He sounded genuine enough, but I couldn't help but assume he was probably being snide about the whole thing. Maybe I was just too biased in my assumptions about his motives, though. I reached down and picked up my sword, sheathing it and pointing at the pickaxe. That's a little weird.
Oh, that?
Derek walked over and picked up the pickaxe.
It's for breaking stone.
I sighed. I know what a pickaxe is. I was just surprised to see one falling out of a slime. He laughed.
The tower provides. If there's a need for a specific tool to solve a certain puzzle, or if there's a secret passage nearby that a tool could help us find, you'll find that tool somewhere. In this case, we'll probably find a hollow wall.
Here? Vera tapped a wall on the eastern side of the room. Thinner than the ones in the other room and no mechanism on the other side. Derek turned to Vera.
Nice! I'd usually have to tap on every wall to hear what sounds hollow. Believe me, that's a pain. You're going to be very useful.
He walked over to the wall, ignoring the green gems, and, by my logic, tacitly giving me permission to take them immediately. I picked up the gems and then handed them to Sarah. You did the heavy lifting on the big one. You should probably take these. She waved a hand.
Nah, aren't those mana crystals? I can't use them like you can.
I shrugged. They're worth money, though.
I'm sure I'll find something else in here I can actually use. You should hold on to those for an emergency.
I nodded at the logic, tucking them away with the other one. Then, after thinking for a second, I pulled one back out.
Vera, can you check what these do?
She accepted the gemstone.
Life mana crystal, class 3.
I whistled appreciatively. I'd never owned a mana crystal of that level of quality before. I took out the other two.
They the same?
Yep.
Nice. Derek slammed the pickaxe into the wall Vera had indicated.
A chunk of stone fell away, leaving a sizable enough gap to see that there was a passageway on the other side.
I'll clear this. Check the other door real quick, though. Secret passages are usually better, but it might lead to something we don't want, like the stairs up.
Professor Orden led the way to the other door, opening it. I caught the briefest glimpse of purplish scales before Orden slammed the door back shut, immediately tracing a series of runes over the wood with her finger. As she moved her hand, a line of mana burned the runes into the door. When she had finished, a glowing barrier manifested over the wood.
Was that?
Sarah asked. Orden stepped away from the door. Mizuchi. I've never heard of her being this close to the tower entrance. That is not a good sign. I scratched my chin.
Any chance she's there to guard the stairs down and has orders to let us through? Maybe Katashi is doing us a favor. Extremely unlikely, Derek called in between swings of the pickaxe. It's more likely she's a sign that we're not supposed to go that direction. Even I wouldn't take the risk of tangling with someone like her by myself. I don't think she's ever been injured.
Given what I'd seen from her fight with the soaring wings, I'd call that likely. We can explore that route if all others are exhausted, Orden decided. In the meantime, let's wait and see where Derek's passage leads. It didn't take Derek much longer to clear the way. Even without his obviously enhanced strength, the stone in that section didn't seem particularly solid. I picked up a small rock and put it in my pouch. It felt far lighter than it looked, and I wanted to figure out what it was made of at some point. I thought about asking Vera, but it didn't seem sufficiently relevant to the situation. Derek led the way down the thin hallway that he'd cleared the way into. After stepping a few feet in, he held up a hand to stop us from advancing further.
I'm going to open up the next door. Step back out of the hallway in case anything happens.
Let me check for traps first, Vera offered. Most of us backed out of the hallway, but Vera stepped in deeper, shouldering her way past Derek. I couldn't see her, but I heard her say,
Door's unlocked. I don't detect any traps, but I wouldn't be able to tell if it's triggered by something too far away, like on the other side of the room.
Should be good enough. I can take a hit or two anyway, but thanks. You really are very helpful.
Vera slipped out of the hallway with the rest of us, then Derek opened the door. No traps. Or at least nothing that made Derek explode outright. Derek stepped into the room. I saw him take a deep breath, mumble something, and then wave for us to follow. The room was filled with keys. Thousands of keys. We had to step onto a pile of keys just to get inside. It felt something like a legendary dragon's hoard, only the dragon was either very misguided or extremely eccentric. Or maybe it just wanted to start a new key-centric economy. Who knew? I knelt down once I'd gotten in there, examining the sheer variety of keys. No two keys looked exactly alike. Some had handle styles that resembled animals. Some were painted unnatural colors. Most, but not all of them, looked like they were built for modern pin-tumbler locks. A few of them didn't have the necessary cuts toward the tip, though. One of them was just a flat rectangular piece of wood. It took me a minute to realize it was a piano key. Apparently the goddess had a sense of humor. The room itself was square-shaped, and our entry door was on the center of one of the faces. The left and right faces also had doors, each of which had an abundantly obvious series of three locks on the surface. Vera walked to the conspicuously empty wall face directly across from us and put a hand against the stone.
Not hollow. Seems like a real wall. I'll see if I can figure out anything about the locks. I don't detect any other traps, so you can probably look around somewhat safely.
Jin and Professor Orden headed to the left door, so I followed Sarah toward the right one. The three locks on the surface were blue, yellow, and red. It reminded me of my judgment. Vera walked up next to me and then touched the face of one of the locks. Built for a specific key. It'll trigger a trap in the ceiling of the room if we use the wrong one. She repeated the process with the other two locks. I was curious what it was like using her attunement. Did information just appear in her head like she'd always known it? Or was there a visual component? It didn't seem like the right time to ask, though.
These require other keys. Seems pretty straightforward, but I'll check the other door as well.
I frowned. So we're just supposed to dig through a pile of keys until we find the matching ones? That seems uninteresting compared to some of the other challenges. Vera shrugged.
Not every challenge you face in life is going to be about combat skills or lightning-fast reflexes. This one is probably a test of patience, or maybe problem-solving. There's probably a way to speed this up. There usually is. Maybe several.
Sarah picked up a key from the pile and offered it to Vera.
If we hand you a key, will you be able to tell if it's the right one before we try it in a lock?
Vera accepted the key.
Probably. Interesting. This key isn't enchanted. The lock was definitely looking for an enchantment. That's how it checks if the key is right.
I considered that. That narrows things down a lot, actually. I could probably find the enchanted keys pretty fast, or at least the ones that aren't buried.
I tapped my mana watch to my forehead and checked the value. 48 of 48. I'd used a little bit of the mana from my hand during the fight, but none of my mental mana. It would be safe to turn my attunement on for just a bit.
I looked back to Vera.
I'm going to activate my attunement and start picking up keys. I'll hand them to you when I find them.
Sounds like a good plan. Vera nodded and started walking to the other side of the room.
I turned my attunement on. It was momentarily blinding. There was magic everywhere in the tower. Literally everywhere. Even the air itself was infused with a little bit of mana. I wasn't just seeing the mana. The mana was so thick around me that I could feel it. It was like a haze of mist all around me, solid enough that I could imagine touching it. Could I? Experimentally, I reached out with my right hand and focused my mind. I tried to reach into the ambient mana and pull on it like I could with a mana crystal. A tiny patch of mana reacted, swirling around my fingers. The mana pulled away from my hand a moment later, indicating that something was working against my efforts. Interesting. I'll have to experiment with this more later. The brightest source of mana in the room was Derek. He had his emerald shroud active. It made sense. We all knew he was an emerald, so he had no reason to hide it and risk suffering an injury with a weaker shroud. After that, the strongest auras were from Derek's weapons and Ordin's tunic. The Ring of Regeneration was next, glowing with a golden citrine aura. Interestingly enough, Selyse Leanne didn't have a colored glow at all. The aura around it was translucent, much like a quartz attuned. I doubted it was only quartz level, however, which implied that one of the runes on the weapon was designed to conceal the sword's aura. Once I'd gotten used to the glow, I started picking through the keys until I found glowing ones. I found a good dozen of them among the hundreds on the surface of the pile. Apparently, this wouldn't be as simple as just finding the 6 magic keys among all of them. Still, this was vastly more efficient than having Vera check all of the keys. After she'd finished checking the locks on the other side of the room and confirmed that they worked the same way, I started picking up the magic keys. Professor Ordin beat me to some of them. I was a little surprised she decided to help, but I wasn't going to complain. Between the two of us, we picked up the visible keys and handed them off to Vera within a couple minutes. After that, we began the exhausting process of digging through the vast piles of other keys for more enchanted ones. At one point, I found a wooden slat that had the word key written on it. Yeah. Selyse definitely had a sense of humor. Not a very sophisticated one, but it was there. I shook my head and kept digging. Found a couple of good ones in this first batch. 1 key for each door. Want me to go ahead and put them in the right locks?
Go ahead, Professor Ordin replied, which was good because I was about to say it myself, and it would have been embarrassing to say something when I definitely wasn't in charge. Vera turned a key in one of the doors. I heard a click.
Huh. I think that unlocked it. Maybe we don't need all 3 for each door.
Vera put a hand on the doorknob, frowning.
It's definitely unlocked.
Derek walked over to the door.
Don't open that yet. It'll probably work now, but it'll probably work better if we open all the locks first.
Jin picked up a key, tossed it into the air and caught it.
I'm pretty sure opening is all we need the door to do.
Derek shook his head.
Yeah, it's meant to tempt us to leave early. If we solve the whole thing, though, it'll probably give us something extra, like an additional tool, or it'll change where the door leads.
I'd almost forgotten that the doorways were more like teleporters. The connections between rooms in the tower were constantly shifting. I'd never actually seen it happen, but someone like Derek, who had been in here dozens of times, almost certainly had.
It could just be that there are three keyholes to give us three options on which key to find, making the room easier to solve, Jin pointed out.
He wasn't wrong. That was a pretty reasonable assumption. Not every group would have an enchanter handy, and certainly not a combination of an enchanter and an analyst. We had a pretty ideal group for this, although a powerful diviner might have found it even easier.
Let's just see how long it takes to find another couple keys and go from there, Derek suggested. We've got days before we need to introduce Vera to Katashi. I'd like to do whatever we can to make this as safe as possible.
Introduce? Really? That was a very optimistic way of thinking about what we were doing. Vera straightened up a bit at the reference, her expression tilting definitively toward the door in spite of Derek's friendly language. She was still handling it a lot better than I would have in her place, though. I tried not to think about the possibility that I was leading her to die. It only took us a few more minutes to find the next matching key. That gave us a bit of encouragement. It seemed like it'd be a pretty easy task. It took 2 hours to find the entire rest of the set. I'd shut off my attunement long before, so we had to rely strictly on Professor Orden's vision to identify the magical keys. Fortunately, we eventually figured out a system. Emptying out one corner, then dedicating gradually moving every single disqualified key to that corner, until we had all of the right ones. We inserted all the keys into the left door first. Clicks for each, but no obvious change in the door itself. Vera was able to detect that the destination on the opposite side of the door hadn't changed. Exasperated, we inserted the three keys into the door on the opposite side of the room. A huge blue treasure box appeared in the middle of the chamber.
Hmm,
Jin mumbled.
Yeah, you mumble. You know I won the bet.
Derek nudged Jin as he walked toward the center.
Vera, you want to check this for traps?
Vera wandered over, putting a hand on the box. Her eyes shut.
You're not going to like this.
Derek's hand went to the hilt of one of his swords.
What's wrong?
It's not trapped, but it is locked.
She tipped over the box. There were 8 keyholes on the bottom side. And we'd long ago consigned the magic keys we didn't need into the same titanic pile as all of the non-magical ones. That had, in retrospect, been a pretty serious oversight. And more importantly, I learned that Selyse had a much meaner sense of humor than I'd imagined. It was another 2 hours before we found all the right keys to open the box. By that point, everyone aside from Derek had lost most of their enthusiasm. I was half expecting to find another box inside the box. At least we'd set aside all the remaining magical keys this time, just in case. Finally, with every key in place, we popped the box open. There was a key inside. A single, rushing key. It was made out of blue crystal, serpentine in shape, with decorative spines forming the bitings on the blade of the key.
Ooh. Derek snatched the key out of the box. Vera, any idea what this does?
I'm going to hazard a guess that it opens a lock, Derek, she sighed. Beyond that, you're not going to get much out of me. I can tell you if it's magic, the dimensions, and what it's made out of, but not what it goes to. The serpent motif is probably significant, of course.
Check anyway.
He handed her the key.
Definitely magic. Strong, too, but I can't tell you what it does. Maybe one of the enchanters could.
Professor Orden silently held out a hand, and Vera gave her the key. Orden looked the key over while I checked my remaining mental mana. 37 of 48. I hadn't used a dangerous amount, but I was already getting a pretty serious headache.
No obvious runes. Like many tower items, it's not enchanted through the same means as the enchanter attunement uses. It's probably closer to Derek's swords. Mana has been stored in it directly. That does mean that it was probably made by a visage, making it significant. If there are no objections, I'll hold on to this until we find a use for it.
Derek's expression saddened, but no one objected. I was just happy we'd gotten anything out of all the effort. We checked the northern door first. The room beyond the door was rectangular, but the floor and walls were divided into black and white squares. It wasn't set up like a crowns board, though. Sometimes there would be a few white or black squares directly adjacent to each other. After a few seconds, I heard a creaking sound, then a hail of spikes shot upward from the black squares on the floor. We hadn't done anything to trigger it. Must have been timed. Derek shut the door.
Okay, trap room. Looks complicated. Let's check the other one.
We made our way toward the other door, once again with Derek leading the way. The other room was another classic. A long rectangular room with a water pit in the center. There was a single door on the opposite side. It had a single blue keyhole. There was a broken bridge crossing about half the pool, and no obvious switch on the other side, but otherwise it was pretty close to the water room that I'd found in my judgment. The same room that had led me to the jail cells and gotten this whole mess started. Suddenly, that spike room was looking awfully appealing by comparison. Derek made the decision for us and stepped inside.
This one looks easy.
The tile beneath his feet depressed just slightly to the ground. I only heard a hiss before Derek's hand blurred upward, catching the first spear of ice that emerged from the other side of the room.
Okay, maybe not that easy, he mumbled, hurling the icy spear to the ground and stepping fully inside.
That tile sunk into the ground too.
Oops, he mumbled.
A hail of dozens of ice spears fired out of holes in the wall on the opposite side of the room, all aimed for Derek. His arm blurred again, and then he had a flaming blade in hand, shattering each of the icy spears in a flicker of motions that were too quick for my eyes to follow. I had to admit, I was pretty impressed. Lowering his weapon after smashing the barrage, Derek sighed.
Okay, I need to stop moving for a minute.
Figured that one out all by yourself, did you?
Vera laughed, gingerly pressing a finger against the top of the first tile that Derek had stepped on. It was slowly moving back upward to the level of the rest of the floor.
Okay. Good news is that the tiles don't seem to be linked to each other, so you haven't triggered a chain reaction with those first couple missteps. Bad news is that each tile can trigger more than once, and I don't see an easy way to differentiate them from normal tiles, if there are any normal tiles.
Vera knelt down at the doorway, sweeping her hand around the area connecting to the first tile.
Hold on. Let me check around here a little more.
Derek frowned, looking down.
Well, that's fine. I'll just, stand here and protect you. Yes, that is definitely what I'll be doing.
How very gallant of you.
Vera continued tracing her way around the tile until she'd made a full circuit with her hand.
Okay, there are some spots that aren't going to trigger any traps. I can figure them out by touch, but you're all going to have to follow me carefully, and we should have a plan for crossing that bridge before we get this started.
I can handle that part, Sarah offered. I can make an ice bridge.
I glanced at her. Any chance you could make an ice floor over the whole floor that's solid enough for us to step on without touching the tiles? She pursed her lips, seeming to consider the idea.
I could, but it'd take up maybe 2/3 of my mana?
That's too much. Never mind. We'll deal with it. Vera nodded.
Okay, I lead the way then. Derek will be next. He can protect me if anything goes wrong. Sarah can come up after that, then the rest of you.
We made our way to the middle of the room slowly, but without incident. Sarah pointed her hand at the broken gap in the bridge.
Child of the goddess, I call upon our pact. Form a bridge of ice.
A thick section of ice formed over the gap. It looked slick, but when Vera tested it with a foot, she judged that it was stable enough to cross. We followed her to the other side of the bridge. It was Jin that noticed that we'd missed something.
There's a key at the bottom of the water.
He pointed to the bottom left corner of the pool. I wasn't even sure I could see it at first, but I checked my mana watch. It's still 37 of 48, Corrin. You haven't used any since the last time you checked and turned my attunement on.
Yeah, definitely a key down there.
Sarah frowned down at the water.
Want me to try to lift it out with air magic?
Derek narrowed his eyes at the key.
Might not be a bad idea, assuming you can maintain the bridge at the same time. Also, don't splash us. That's probably acid.
Sarah nodded.
That'll make it trickier, but I think I can manage it.
She pointed her hand toward the spot in the water and began to whisper into the air.
Wyvern, I call upon our pact. Deliver this key unto me.
The effect was surprisingly subdued.
The key floated upward unceremoniously to the top of the water, then out of it towards Sarah's waiting hand. I'd been expecting a tornado or a hurricane or something. I was a little disappointed, but I could live with it. Sarah waved her hand at the last moment, and the key dropped onto the stone at her feet. As Derek had suspected, the droplets of liquid that had collected on the key burned into the bridge's surface. "If you'll all move to the side a bit, I'll use the wind to push the key straight into the lock," Sarah offered. Vera shook her head. "Let me check the lock first. The key might not actually correspond to it."
"Seriously?"
Sarah glanced down at the key. "I mean, I can respect being tricky, but that's a little ridiculous."
"It's more likely the key could actually be used in multiple places. That's more the goddess's style in my experience," Derek suggested. "Vera, you want to check the walls for more secret passages?"
Not particularly. Going to be kind of a pain to get over to each of the walls, but I suppose that was a rhetorical question, and I should do it anyway. Fine. The rest of you wait on the bridge. It's all safe as far as I can tell."
We waited on the bridge while Vera made a careful circuit around the room, feeling her way across the floor to find the safe spots before she stepped forward. After a couple minutes, she stood up to rub her back. All that bending forward and half-crawling must have been pretty awkward. Eventually, she reached the walls and made her way around the room to check each of them. It was when she hit the southwest corner that she paused.
"Huh! Light me up, that's a surprise. There's a false wall here. You still got that pickaxe?"
We left the pickaxe in the key room. After about a minute of deliberation, we decided that simply having Derek punch his way through the false wall would be faster and more efficient than trying to make our way all the way back to the key room. Vera led Derek over to the wall. He started punching right through it with his bare hands. I really hoped he wasn't the traitor I thought he was, because if he was, we were going to be in a lot of trouble. Punching out sections of wall didn't take him much longer than the pickaxe had, but it took us all another couple minutes to make our way over to the hole he'd excavated. It led into another tunnel, just like the first secret passage had. There was a door with a blue keyhole at the end.
"Gotta make a choice here," Derek explained. "Keys in the tower almost always disappear when they're used, so we can only open one of these two doors, assuming it's the same key for both."
Vera tapped on the keyhole.
"It is. I checked the other lock. They use the same key."
"We'll take the secret passage, Derek," Professor Orden instructed.
"Yes, Professor,"
he nodded to her.
"Okay, Sarah, can you float the key over here?"
"No problem."
Another quick air spell and she floated the key into the lock and turned it. Derek opened the door. The blast of air coming from the other room slammed him backward into Vera. It hit the rest of us in the next moment, and the sheer force of the gust carried me off the ground before I could react. I flew backward out of the tunnel, uncontrolled, until Jin grabbed me by the wrist. Somehow, he'd reacted fast enough to slam a dagger I'd never seen, into the stone wall on the side of the tunnel to anchor himself into place. Professor Orden crashed into me a second later, breaking Jin's grip. Then Orden and I were out of the tunnel and back in the previous room, airborne over a pool of acid and quickly approaching the opposite wall. As I flew through the air toward imminent death, my mind somehow managed to inform me, "There's the hurricane you wanted, Corin." Oh, the sharpness of my wit. Truly, it cuts me more deeply than any other.
"Wyvern, I call upon our pact! Protect us from the wind!"
Sarah's spell blocked the wind. This was probably good for those people who were in the tunnel. Unfortunately, Orden and I were still entangled and airborne. There was an almost comical instant when the last of the air faded and we began to fall. I panicked. Orden acted. She ripped the dueling cane off my belt, shot a blast of energy at a nearby tile, and triggered the trap. The acid was only a moment away, but the spears of ice from the trap reached us first. Orden grabbed the closest spear and slammed it into the stone as we fell, intending to use it as an anchor like Jin had with the knife. The ice spear bounced right off the stone. Magic or not, it couldn't pierce rock. Orden and I hit the acid hard. For a moment, I was pretty confident I was going to die right there. My barrier kicked in before the acid could burn me, but with the barrier preventing the liquid from completely reaching me, I sank like a rock. Orden was still there with me.
her own barrier protecting her. I didn't realize how important that was until she spoke a single word. Teleport! And then, we were standing back at the entrance to the tunnel, very much alive. I breathed a sigh of relief, but it was only momentary. Sarah was kneeling on the ground at the entrance to the tunnel, breathing far too heavily.
Can't hold the wind much longer!
Resh! Professor Orden and I stepped past her into the tunnel. I could see the point where Sarah's spell, a twisting mist of green, was blocking off the wind at the end of the tunnel. Derek had moved beyond that point. His emerald aura was flaring, and he was physically pushing his way through the gale. The rest of us didn't have any hope of mimicking that feat, though, and it didn't look like Sarah was going to be able to hold the wind long enough for the rest of us to wait here safely. The easy approach was probably to move us all out of the tunnel and way off to the side, but that meant Derek would have to try to tangle with that room alone. He probably could survive it without difficulty, but we had no way of knowing if he'd find a way to stop the wind, which meant that it was a dead end if we didn't all get through.
"Can you teleport us to the other side of that room?" I asked Orden.
Orden shook her head. "I need an anchor to teleport. In this case, I was able to teleport back to Jin's location. I could get us to Derek, but we'd just be blown right back out of the room."
"Derek, close the door!"
Vera shouted.
"What?"
he shouted back.
"Did you say my name? I can't hear you over the wind!"
Orden stepped closer to Sarah's wind barrier, while Sarah continued to shiver. With my attunement active, I could see threads of green leaking out of her. It was rather disconcerting. Professor Orden frowned at the barrier.
"We shouldn't close the door. Derek could get stuck in there. We don't know that this door will reopen if we try."
She turned back around.
"Sarah, can you make an ice wall at the entrance to this tunnel?"
She shook her head. She was looking flushed, her breathing accompanied by a wheeze. I needed to do something. "Can I use Celise Leanne to make enough ice to form a wall? No, not enough time. Blast through the wind with my gauntlet? No, the wind is continuous. It wouldn't last." I gestured toward the tunnel entrance.
"Everyone, we need to get out of the hallway and let Sarah rest."
We moved out of the tunnel and off to the side of the door, where the wind wouldn't hit us when it picked back up. When we were all out of the way, aside from Sarah, I grabbed onto her tight and pulled her toward me. I nearly lost her, but Jin grabbed me around the waist and anchored me. Together, we pulled her out of the doorway. The wind whipped past us at deadly speed, but we were safe. Sarah was still breathing hard. I slipped off my backpack, withdrawing my water and handing it to her. She drank a sip, coughed that water up and retched onto the floor near us, and then drank some more. She managed to keep it down the second time. She hugged me tightly and I hugged her back. Even my usual reticence toward human contact was apparently overwhelmed by just how rushing close we'd just come to meeting our end. We all sat down. I handed Sarah the mana watch. She wordlessly accepted it, fumbling with the watch to find the right spot on her back to measure her mana. -30 of 112. She'd gone well beyond her safe mana limit. That meant potential permanent damage. No wonder she wasn't talking. She looked at the number, grimaced just slightly, and handed the watch back to me. I mussed her hair.
"Quick thinking, blocking the wind. You saved us there.
The rest of us will take care of things for a bit." Sarah nodded, still looking painfully weak. If I was a mender, maybe I could have healed her, but... I sighed at my own stupidity.
"I've still got the ring of regeneration," I realized out loud.
I handed her the ring.
"Put that on. It'll make you feel a bit better."
She accepted the ring gratefully and slipped it on. She closed her eyes, letting out a sigh of momentary relief. I felt a little better, knowing the ring would probably keep her from getting worse, at least. I glanced at the others.
"Okay.
Plan?" Professor Orden shook her head.
"As a wayfarer, I have all sorts of movement-oriented spells. Unfortunately, none of them really involve blocking or resisting the wind. I could levitate someone, but that would just make them more susceptible to being blown away."
I refrained from asking why she hadn't levitated us across this room in the first place. Presumably she wanted to save her mana, or maybe it required her to concentrate on one person at a time. Maybe she just enjoyed having other people do all the work. It didn't matter. I needed to focus. I still had a handful of magical items I hadn't used, but none of them seemed applicable to the situation. I was sorely tempted to consult the book, but everyone could see me. Was it worth outing the book's existence here? Maybe. It really was a tremendously dangerous situation. Extreme measures were warranted, but it wasn't an extreme approach that I suspected to actually help. The book would probably just write back something like, "Corin, you're in the room of killing wind. It has winds that kill you. Avoid them." I rolled my eyes at the thought. For a magic book, it wasn't actually very helpful. Aside from that, I didn't really have any items that felt close to appropriate. Maybe Professor Orden did. That gave me a bit of an idea, at least. "Do you want to try that serpent key on the other door? Maybe we can just take the other route and get Derek back here." Professor Orden furrowed her brow, seeming to consider the suggestion. "Only if we can think of no alternative. The other room could be equally or more dangerous, and it could also introduce a new element that makes this room more deadly." "A fair argument." "Okay. Do we have any way of communicating with Derek?" Orden nodded. "I have a spell that sends messages, but it's one way. He would not be able to reply." Sarah tried to say something, but it just came out as a cough. She frowned, and then mimed drawing something and looked at me expectantly. I set my backpack down, once again debating if I was willing to take out the book. Instead, I retrieved a pen and frowned. "Anyone have paper? Sarah needs to write something." Vera dug some out of a bag. "Here you go, dear. Thanks again for the save back there." Sarah nodded to Vera, accepting the paper and my pen. She wrote out, "Vaniv could probably stop the wind." I frowned. "You're not in any condition to summon Vaniv right now." She nodded, writing again. "Agreed. If we call Derek back, we can camp here for a few hours until I'm sufficiently rested." I relayed Sarah's plan to the rest of the group. "I'm not confident a summoned Carvenzi is going to be sufficient to repel wind of that strength," Orden remarked. "But it is the best plan I've heard so far. I'll send Derek the message." Orden whispered into the air. I couldn't hear her words, but with my attunement active, I did see a hint of mana leaving her mouth. It was a strange effect. I turned my attunement back off, checking my mana. 34 of 48. Still safe, but I was getting close to the point where I usually stopped. 10 minutes later, Derek still hadn't come back. "Anyone else getting a little worried?" Vera asked. "I mean, he's an emerald and all, but he's not invincible. What if something happened?" "Unless someone has something new to contribute, I don't believe we have any option other than waiting," Professor Orden replied. "I wouldn't be overly concerned, however. In spite of his bluster, Derek is quite creative." This was emphasized when Derek's fist burst through the wall behind me a moment later. I startled, standing up and nearly stumbling back into the wind. Jin caught me and steadied me. Derek punched his way through the rest of the wall over the following couple minutes.
"Phew! That was rough. This wall isn't thin like the one we were supposed to go through."
I blinked. "What happened? And didn't you say we're supposed to not destroy the normal walls because of Spire Guardians and such?"
"Yeah, that's the funny thing. I realized a Spire Guardian was just what we needed. Punched a wall a whole bunch until one showed up. Huge iron golem, really mean. Then I punched through him, too."
Derek cracked his neck and then wiped his lips. Was that blood?
"Anyway, his body is big and heavy enough that the wind can't push it. Unfortunately, I can't push it very well either. This thing must weigh more than a train car. So I busted all the way through here. His body is blocking the wind on the other side of the passage. He's around the middle of the room, though, so it won't get us the whole way through."
"If I can get in halfway, I can look for ways to disable the wind. There's probably a trigger somewhere," Vera suggested.
We pushed ourselves to our feet. Derek's strength had come through for us again, but we'd need to handle the rest ourselves. And at a second glance, yeah, his lip definitely was bleeding. Even he wasn't invincible.
We carefully made our way through Derek's handmade tunnel, emerging behind the colossal form of the fallen Spire Guardian. Derek hadn't been kidding about how large it was. The golem must have been 30 feet tall when it was standing. Now, fallen on its side, its shoulder was just about as high as I was tall. That realization made me look up. The ceiling of this room was absurdly high, probably 30 meters up. Across the room, I could see a series of runes on the wall that were generating the blasts of wind. If we could neutralize those runes somehow, we could stop the gale. Between the runes was, of course, another door. No sign of a lock on this one.
"How high up do you think the wind goes?" I asked Orden.
"Interesting. If you're thinking I could levitate someone above the wind and then lower them next to the door, you're probably right, but the winds would still catch them on the way up."
"Can you disable the runes if you get close enough?"
"Yes." I still wasn't very familiar with how to disable existing enchantments, but I knew it could be done. If Orden said she could do it, I had no doubt that she could. I turned to Vera.
"Vera, can you check how high the wind goes?"
She nodded.
"Yeah, I can detect that if I touch the wind. 1 second."
She stuck a hand into the wind, jerking it back a second later.
"Only goes up about 20 feet.
I turned back to Orden.
"Could you levitate Derek up, then across the room once he's out of the wind, and then lower him back down in front of the door? I don't see a rune right next to the door itself."
"Certainly, but Derek could not turn off the runes. Ah, you want to use Derek as an anchor, then I teleport to him. Yes, that will work." She turned to Derek.
"Derek, brace yourself up against the wall. I'll lift you, but the wind will be pushing against you full force for a bit, so use your shroud defensively."
Derek nodded.
"Yes, Professor Orden."
Derek walked over to position himself with his back up against the wall and braced against it. That'd prevent the wind from slamming him straight into the wall, at least.
"Levitate!"
Professor Orden raised her hand and Derek floated upward. When he rose above the level of the golem, the wind visibly bombarded him, pushing against his clothes. He just stretched his hands outward, pushing right back. He floated upward more slowly with the wind causing him to drag against the wall, but when he got above 20 feet, he slipped free of the wind's force. Orden moved her hand and he floated safely across the room, then back down right in front of the door. As we'd predicted, there was no wind right in the doorway. He was safe there.
"Teleport!"
Professor Orden disappeared, reappearing next to Derek.
"Keep me steady," she told him.
"Yes, Professor Orden."
Derek held on to Professor Orden as she reached into the wind and pushed her arm toward the closest wind rune. Within a moment of her hand touching the rune, it visibly dimmed until the glow was completely gone. They repeated the process, walking around the room until the last of the wind runes was extinguished.
"Great idea, Corin!"
Derek gave me a friendly nudge.
"I was not looking forward to having to try to walk all the way across the room in that. The wind was getting more intense the further I pushed through it."
I nodded. "No problem. Glad I could help. Also, way to make an entrance there." He laughed.
"I do love my entrances. Come on."
We made our way to the door. I glanced back toward the golem, pondering if I could salvage any part of it, but I didn't know the first thing about how they worked. Maybe I'd ask after we saw what was in the next room.
"Everyone ready? You may want to step out of the way of the door just in case we get another nasty surprise."
We all quickly complied. Derek swung the door open. Inside was a simple square room with a large fountain flowing with fresh water. There was a door directly on the opposite side, as well as a door to our left. The doors were heavy stone rather than the wooden ones we'd been seeing in most of the rooms, but they looked fairly ordinary otherwise. Aside from that, the room looked completely empty. Derek glanced back at Vera.
"Vera, check for death traps."
"You bet."
Vera knelt down at the doorway, touching the tile, then touching the wall above it.
"Seems safe right at the entrance. Give me a couple minutes to poke around."
None of us were in a hurry. While she checked for traps, I turned to Derek. "That golem have any worthwhile parts we could take?"
He shook his head. "Not unless you're a Kalish engineer."
"Huh." He glanced at Vera.
"Actually, maybe she could do something with it. I don't know much about golems, but they're mostly mechanical. Mana-powered, but they're mostly mechanical parts. I wouldn't know how to get to the mana core without breaking it. But she might."
It was a couple more minutes before Vera came back.
"Room seems safe. Fountain seems safe, too."
"Thought so. It's a mana fountain. They're commonly found in safe rooms."
I blinked.
"Mana fountain? As in, that's liquid mana flowing in there?"
Derek laughed. Nothing quite so grand. It's just water infused with a bit of life mana and water mana. Helps speed up recovery after a particularly dangerous room, or right before one. Bad news is that I'm pretty sure the room we just went through was the easy room.
Meaning that the next room, or rooms, will likely be exceptionally dangerous, Orden finished. Very well. We should all head inside and indulge in the fountain. We headed in, but I frowned when I sat at the fountain's side. Is it really clean for us to drink from this? Wouldn't there be, like, hundreds of years of diseases? Professor Orden laughed. It's self-cleaning. Look at the runes over here. Huh. I didn't recognize most of the runes she showed me, but I was able to pick out the ones that made it refill with water, as well as ones that called water mana and life mana into it. I borrowed some of Vera's paper and sketched the remaining runes down, tucking the notes away in my backpack, then drank the water. It was cold. Like, goddess, I didn't know I could feel that cold without experiencing pain. As strange as the feeling was, though, it wasn't strictly uncomfortable. After the first sip, I started to acclimate to it, drinking my fill. Out of curiosity, I checked my mana watch afterward. 39 of 48. So, it was restoring a bit of my mana, or at least accelerating my natural recovery a bit. But it wasn't a mana potion, and it wouldn't get me back to full strength immediately. That was fine. I was more worried about Sarah. She was drinking it as quickly as she could, and I didn't blame her. After she drank her fill, I passed her the mana watch again, and she registered at -10 of 112. Still pretty bad, but she'd recovered more mana than I had. I looked around. Any objections to resting here for a few hours?
Actually, I think we might want to plan to spend the night here. It's very unlikely we're going to find another safe spot like this.
Derek scratched his chin. I would advise against tarrying here quite that long, but a few hours might be tolerable. Orden sat at the base of the fountain.
Why? Are we in any sort of hurry? Thought we had days,
Derek asked. On Katashi's deadline, yes. But it would appear that Edrian agents are active in our city, and I would prefer to resolve this before they have a chance to learn about where we are and plan a counterstrike.
Derek nodded. Makes sense. Few hours, then. Vera, want to help me take a crack at that golem? Maybe we can pry the core out of it.
Really? Maybe you really are a gentleman.
Vera grinned and looped her arm in his.
Let's go take a swing at that bucket of metal.
While they worked, I rested, and for just a little while, I felt like we were finally safe. I was, of course, dangerously mistaken.
Chapter 21 Venom.
My first order of business was making sure that Sarah's condition was stable. Unfortunately, I didn't have any kind of medical expertise, so that meant the best tool at my disposal was the mana watch. I prodded her with it every few minutes until the result was a greater than zero value, after which we both relaxed a little. She still wasn't talking, but we scribbled notes to each other on borrowed paper. Mostly speculation about where we should be going next and general strategy. Jin seemed content to stare at a wall most of the time, meditating or something similar. Maybe he was just considering tactics. I couldn't blame him for that. Professor Orden busied herself with drawing protective runes on the walls, writing some notes, and occasionally whispering into the air. Reporting to her superiors, I imagined. That wasn't a bad idea. Once I was convinced that Sarah wasn't getting worse, I followed Orden's example and got to work. My first order of business was writing down the runes from the previous room. There were three types. One clearly generated the wind, but I wasn't sure about the other two. The second had a symbol of transference on the top, so I guessed that it might have been the one designed to recharge the main runes, especially since it was centrally positioned in the room. The third rune? No idea. I'd assumed it was to exclude an area around the exit door from the wind, but it turned out there just weren't any runes that were directing wind at that particular spot, so an exclusion rune wasn't needed. Maybe the third one was part of a puzzle that was meant to turn off the runes.
There had to be a way to handle that chamber without a powerful enchanter to turn the runes off. Maybe that third rune was an off switch. After a while of studying in that room, I came to the belated realization that Derek and Vera were flirting nearby. And by I came to the realization, I mean Derek eventually told me, "We're flirting. Can we please have some space?" Fair enough, Derek. Fair enough. So I, Corn Cadence, master of understanding human mating rituals, left that room to the two of them and tried not to think about that too much. I decided early in the break that I wasn't going to do anything reckless that could get us into more danger. That resolve lasted about as long as it took for me to get bored, meaning not particularly long at all. In fairness, my idea was one that could have been beneficial. When Derek and Vera, presumably, concluded their flirtations and asked Professor Orden to help them examine some of the golem's components, I took my chance to sit down and open up my book. No new replies since I'd last checked, which was somewhat disappointing and maybe a little disconcerting. I'd been hoping for descriptions of each of the rooms we'd passed through. Now that Orden had told me that the voice of the tower was a person, though, it made sense for them not to be monitoring the book or me at all times. Dear Voice of the Tower, as previously indicated, I have entered the tower with the intent to rendezvous with Katashi. If you could render any assistance to make this process easier, such as alerting Katashi to our presence and sending him directly to us, it would be most appreciated. Due to your previous stated concerns about Lyris Orden seeing the book, I have been careful not to open it while in her sight. As such, I will most likely be unable to see if and when you reply, unless it is within the next few minutes. Best, Corin. Professor Orden didn't return for the next several minutes, so I kept the book ready. About 5 minutes later, I received a reply.
Corin, your message has been received and your caution is appreciated. I will endeavor to make certain that Katashi finds you at the proper time. Sincerely, Mysterious Book Entity.
Oh, it's still like that name. Or he or she, I suppose. It was a little strange to think about there being a person sending those messages. Anyway, the book was being vague, as usual, but I was comforted to know that it was aware of the situation and might lend help. I'd have felt better if it wasn't quite as mysterious, but it was living up to its name, and there was still a degree of comfort and predictability. It was about an hour later that Professor Orden finally returned to the room, with Vera and Derek right behind her. She was holding a crystal sphere the size of a fist. A quick attunement activation told me it had a thick jade aura. I didn't know much about golems, but I assumed that had to be the creature's core, and if it was an emerald-level crystal, that was a very valuable find. They all looked pretty pleased, and I didn't blame them. "There's no need to panic," Orden began, immediately inducing my reflex to panic. "But I've received a message from another wayfarer that a group of climbers from Edria has entered the tower. There is a possibility that this is a coincidence, but I believe it would be prudent to expedite our journey. How is Miss Cadence's recovery coming?" We checked the mana watch. 24 of 112. Not a lot of mana to work with, and it was definitely coming back more slowly than it normally would. Going beyond her safe value must have wrought some serious havoc on her lungs. "She's still extremely low on mana, and she can't talk," I answered, and she nodded in agreement. "I think we should give her another hour or two." Orden shook her head. "We can't take the risk. I have been speaking with Derek and Vera, however, and we believe it may be wise for the three of us to press on ahead without the rest of you." I stood up. "I should go with you. I have a responsibility to see this through, and Katashi asked me to handle this. It may be easier to talk to him safely if I'm present. And I want to make sure I get any information I can out of the talk with Katashi. I still don't know enough about everything that's going on here." Derek turned his head to Orden.
"He's got a point," Orden sighed.
"No, he doesn't, Derek. He's just being egocentric. Katashi will be overjoyed to meet with Vera, regardless of who brings her, and we can always have Katashi follow us to Corin's location afterward to remove the remark." Derek's jaw tightened, but his reply sounded cheerful enough.
"You're right, Professor Orden. He does not have a point."
Something seemed off about that exchange. We will not be a burden.
Jin stepped closer to me, taking up a position at my right side.
Sarah has proven valuable thus far. Corrin and I will endeavor to carry similar weight.
Professor Orden pointed at the door on the other side of the room. Let's see how dangerous the next couple rooms look before we make a decision. Derek, why don't you go take a look at the other rooms?
Yes, Professor Orden.
He headed toward the door near me immediately, turned the handle, and opened it. There it was again. His formality, his eagerness to agree to everything she was saying immediately. Something wasn't right. As he turned his back to us, I activated my attunement and looked at him. Beneath his usual shimmering, emerald aura, I saw a few other sources of magical energy. The glow from his swords was unsurprising, and I noted that his tunic also carried an enchantment. He was wearing two enchanted rings as well, one on each hand. The one that Professor Orden had given him wasn't glowing, but it was leaving a trail. A crimson trail of mana that connected him directly with her. It faded almost as quickly as I'd noticed it, but I was certain I'd seen it, and I understood what I was seeing. Okay, Corrin, don't panic. You know she said the ring was a precaution. Investigate, prepare, but don't panic. I offered Sarah a hand and helped her stand up. She accepted it wordlessly. We looked inside the door that Derek had opened. It was one of the largest rooms I'd seen so far, dome-shaped and covered in what looked like spider web, but with strands as thick as my arm. I didn't see the spider itself, but I wasn't sure I wanted to. There was another door on the other side of the room, but it was a wide stone one with runes on the surface. I didn't see an obvious door handle. It was probably meant to open and close under specific conditions.
"Looks like a spire guardian room," Derek explained. "And I think I can see where the stairway will appear."
He pointed at a square tile in the middle of the room.
"It should manifest once we beat the guardian, but I can't say if it'll go up or down. If it goes up, we'll have to keep pushing on. The way down probably wouldn't be much further."
"How dangerous is the guardian likely to be?"
Sarah asked.
"Probably not too bad, given that we're still on the first floor. As a general rule, a group of six carnelians, or one or two sunstones, can usually handle the guardians dedicated to blocking off the first few stairways. Obviously, that means it won't be much trouble for me."
Derek flexed his arms, and Sarah rolled her eyes in response.
"Better check that other door."
Derek headed to the last door we hadn't checked, which was directly opposite from where we'd entered. He opened it as soon as he got there, peering inside. I considered our current placement while he was out of arm's reach. Vera was standing over by the entrance to the wind room, next to Professor Orden. That was bad. Derek was about as far from Orden as possible, though, which was good. Jin and Sarah were right next to me, which was also good.
"Hey, Vera, come here a sec."
I waved to her and she approached. One preparation in place.
"Not much in this one."
Derek turned around, closing the door.
"Big box in the back is a mimic. I could handle it, but there isn't much of a point. We aren't here for treasure, and there aren't any other doors in there."
I leaned over to whisper in Sarah's ear. "When I give you this signal, make a wall." Sarah gave me an inquisitive look paired with the slightest nod. Two preparations in place. I reached into my bag, adjusting the position of my return bell to make it easier to grab. Vera, Jin, and Sarah were all close enough to be in the bell's range. Professor Orden turned toward the large group of us by the spider room's door.
"I believe that if we've discovered the location of a stairway, it would be prudent for the veterans among us to go handle the spire guardian and proceed."
I shook my head.
"Even if Sarah needs to wait here, I really should go along. Jin can stay here with her and make sure her condition doesn't get any worse, but I should really be there for the meeting with Katashi."
"I'm sorry, Corrin, but it's just not safe for you to come along. I insist. You agree, don't you, Derek?"
"Yes, Professor Orden."
That confirmed it in my mind. She was actively trying to edge me out of completing this assignment. I folded my arms.
"His agreement doesn't exactly count for much when you're controlling him, Professor."
She folded her arms in front of her.
"That's quite an accusation, Corrin."
A grin spread across her face.
"But I'll admit, it's an accurate one."
Derek's hand moved,
but not quickly enough. "Derek, stop!" Orden commanded. He froze in place. After a moment, he visibly trembled, his hand already atop the ring. Orden casually gestured at him with her right hand. "Derek, withdraw your..."